Hello, everyone. I'm Louis Vargas, and this is episode 54 of the Art Scene Podcast. Today's guest is Liz Hernandez, an artist based in Oakland. As you'll hear more about later, her art practice is pretty diverse, including painting, drawing, sculpture, and writing, and is partially autobiographical as it is deeply influenced by her memories of her home in Mexico. I've been looking forward to my conversation with her for a while, and I'm glad to finally be able to play it here for you all. But before I do, I wanted to plug a few things happening here in the Bay Area. First, our friends over at Part 2 Gallery has two solo shows up. First, titled On Becoming a Star, featuring work by Yetunde Olegbaju. The other is titled Queenship by Angela Hennessy. Both can be seen by appointment only through September 3rd. Then, over at the Berkeley Art Museum, a new exhibition opened over the weekend, titled New Time, Art and Feminism in the 21st Century, which is a major survey exploring the recent feminist practices in contemporary art. More than 150 works are featured by 77 artists and collectives. The show runs through January 30th, 2022. The last thing I want to plug is a new exhibition over at the Museum of Latin American Art in Long Beach, which is co-curated by Alessandra Moctezuma, a previous guest on the podcast. The show is titled Judy Baca, Memorias de Nuestra Tierra, the first comprehensive retrospective of the work of Chicana muralist and community activist Judy Baca. All right, now here's my conversation with Liz Hernandez. Okay, cool. So thanks for coming on, and thanks for doing this. I know we booked this a while ago, but and it feels like forever ago, because I think 3 months ago or whatever, like, things weren't as open as they are today in the world.
Right.
But yeah, so now that the world is reopening, I just wanted to kind of see, like, how everything has been going for you in terms of your art practice and work and stuff, because now we can walk into museums again, we can go to art galleries a little bit more freely than we used to. How has that experience been for you? I mean, I don't know how affected you were this past year with the shutdowns and stuff, but
yeah, I actually didn't really mind it, to be honest. I'm a big introvert, so it was honestly really productive for me. I, of course, like, it was really just difficult not seeing friends, and of course, like, not seeing my family. I haven't seen them for like maybe 2 years at this point. I think that's really been the hardest part for me. But I feel like I'm not someone who goes out a lot. I tend to just be like in my studio and at home.
Yeah.
I do a lot of like introspection in my life. So it didn't really feel much different. It was just like, I think the hardest part was like going outside and feeling like scared and just being more aware of, you know, my health and the people around me, taking care of them.
Yeah.
It was like, that was like really what was difficult for me, but you know, I like didn't really change my life. I like don't really go out a lot, so it was totally fine. I didn't mind it, even though it was a little scary at the same time.
Yeah, it's like weird, right? Because then it's like, I wouldn't say you thrived in this pandemic, but like, but you sure it only encouraged what you like to do. It seems like it's just to be inside and like hang out with your work and your thoughts, and except for the lingering fear of catching the virus.
Honestly, that was it. And of course, like, I like really miss my friends, but the way that I like see them is more like one-on-one, and like I don't know, I like usually just like see them a few times and then I need to like kind of like get my energy back. I'm like a big loner, and I thrive in that like kind of environment, even though it sounds really weird.
No, I mean, I think some people are introverts, some people are not, and like, you know, so if that's what worked for you, do you feel like that? So then that really helped, I'm assuming. So that was the next question I was going to ask, if you made more or less work. I mean, this question varies with different people that I know who are artists. But for you, it sounds like you made more work during this
period. Oh, yes. Yeah. I made a ton of work. It was awesome. But honestly, I think I did that because I just wanted to ignore what was going on. Not really ignore, but it was a distraction from what was going on, and also was like the only thing I could offer. Like, I figured that if I could, like, you know, make a painting and then, like, donate the proceeds, like, that was a way for me to feel like I was doing something. You know, like, I couldn't offer more, like, I don't know, other activities that would help the community directly, but I know that just giving money, like, to people who need it immediately, that's like big help too. So it was a way for me to also feel like I was helping. But I just like thrive in like my solitude, I guess. So yeah, I made a lot of work.
Were there a lot of opportunities still for you, like to show some of that work, like even during a pandemic? I know I saw some virtual stuff happening, but I wasn't sure. You know, who knows, like different cities and towns, like they're open. They're like how they're the way they're opened is different, right? We learned that.
Well, I showed most of my work because I was working, you know, for my exhibition at Part Two in November. That was like the main work that I was working on, but also I was able to just make like smaller pieces that were sold online. And I think, when was it? Over summer last year, my husband Ryan Whalen and I organized this kind of like raffle or like auction thing on Instagram where we made a ton of small paper pieces and just like put them up on Instagram, sold them there, and all the proceeds got donated. And then we invited other artists to do that. Lena Gustafson and Chelsea Wong did it for us too. And, you know, I feel like I think that if you want to show your work, you can just like use the internet, use the tools that you have around. Like, I've never felt like I needed to be invited at a space or exhibition. Like, now we have so many tools where we can just like make it happen ourselves. So a lot of things were online.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the one thing that that this pandemic showed us was like how we didn't have to be so dependent on like physical spaces, that we could we could use a lot of virtual spaces with apps and tools that were already existing for years and that we never really took advantage of, I guess, until now.
Yeah, no, it is true. And that's something that I try to like do this year, even though I have to say that like looking at art online is never the same as looking at it in real life.
That's true.
Like, not at all.
Right.
So a good reminder that it's good to also go and check out the physical, you know, version of the piece.
For sure. So you're based in Oakland, right? So are you originally from the Bay Area, or are you?
No, I'm from Mexico. I moved here 10 years ago, and I honestly had no plans on staying. I kind of had to stay. I didn't want to stay here.
Oh, interesting. So what did you originally come here for?
I came here for school. I went to CCA in Oakland.
And did you study painting there, or is it something like you've always wanted to do, study and be in art?
Oh, no, I didn't study art. I went to school for industrial design, actually.
Oh, interesting. Was the original plan with that?
Well, you know, when I told my parents that I wanted to go to art school, they were like, that sounds terrible. And I was like, oh, yeah, why? Well, and they were like, you know, you're going to come back to Mexico and like artists just like are poor. Like, do you want that life? Do you want to struggle? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I could make it work, but my parents just kind of made me feel like it was not a good idea. So I just looked through the majors that had like, I guess, the best job like market after graduation, and I saw industrial design. So I wanted to become a furniture designer, and I realized that for some reason the school had this big focus on tech, at least my department. So it was a bit of a struggle. I kind of had to like advocate for myself and kind of like, you know, get electives that would teach me the things that I really wanted to learn. Like, I took some textiles classes, I took some ceramics classes, drawing classes. So I think I was able to mold or to like adapt what I learned from my design career to like help me make the things I wanted to do. I always wanted to make art, but yeah. I never really took it seriously.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So like, it's like, no matter what, you were like, I want to make art, but then you mm-hmm. like, but you take this major that brings you here to the Bay Area, which has mm-hmm. nothing to do with what you really want to do. And in the end, you're doing it anyways, but here.
Yeah. And honestly, I was really like kind of resentful for like that at the beginning, but now I like realize I thank my dad all the time. I am so happy I went to school for that, because it allowed me to like not just be a painter. Like, I know how to use many different materials, and I feel like that's like what I learned in school, I still kind of apply to my art practice in a weird way.
Yeah.
I was able to adapt it.
And you mentioned that you wanted to eventually go back, that the plan was never to really stay here, right? It sounds like the plan was really just to go to school here and then go back.
Yeah.
But you stuck around, and mm-hmm. What is it that keeps drawing you back to go home?
Well, when I first moved here, it was really hard. It was a culture shock. And I like didn't really feel at home for like many years. I would say like during my freshman and sophomore year, I almost just like dropped out and went back, because it was just really difficult living here.
Yeah.
It was a different lifestyle. But I was like, no, I already spent time here. Might as well just finish. And after, you know, I think it was my last year in school, I was kind of not sure what I was going to do. So I was like, all right, I'm going to move back. But then I met my now husband, Ryan. And then we started our relationship, and I was like, okay, I'm going to stay a little bit longer because it's fun. And by then, you know, like 4 or 5 years after living here, I started to feel more comfortable in Oakland. So then I married him like years later, and now this is my home.
Yeah.
But it was totally like not the plan. That's how it ended.
I mean, I mean, I'm not from a different country, but I grew up in San Diego, mm-hmm. and me and my wife, then she was my girlfriend, but we moved up here, and it's funny, we had that same mindset. We're like, we're just here for a couple years. I'm just going to finish school. We're going to go right back down to San Diego. Like, this is not really our place. And then,
mm-hmm.
and like all of a sudden, 10 years later, we're like married, have a child, and we're here in the city. And, you know, and we still talk about going back. But the mm-hmm. reality is, I don't know when I'm going back anymore, you know. And, but it's interesting, right? Like, it's not so much like my heart still is in San Diego, right? And mm-hmm. family's still there. But it's just something about, you know, you just get comfortable here. Mm-hmm. and then you like San Diego just becomes a place that you, or at least for me, like becomes a place that I look forward to going one day.
Mm-hmm. But
it doesn't like guide me as much as it used to anymore, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was reading up about your work, and what I've been following your work for a while, but mm-hmm. I was reading up, and you know, a big thing you've talked about, how your memories of growing up in Mexico kind of influence your work,
mm-hmm.
and especially like you have this connection with your grandmother and whatnot, you know. So my mother was from Tijuana, and I still have mm-hmm. family there, and being in San Diego is one of those things where we would drive every weekend and whatever. And now that I'm all the way up here, I'm a little bit further from that connection, mm-hmm. and so it's interesting now that like so much of your work is influenced by these memories. Is that something that's like constantly ongoing? Is that like a current project you're working on? Like, tell me more about that, like about the connection with your work and your memories of growing up and your memories of, and your connection with your grandmother.
Yeah. I think it's just like, I'm not sure if it's like a temporary thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like I guess growing up with my grandmother was like really influential to the way that I see the world. And I think of myself, so I even think that if I was back in Mexico, I would still be making art about her.
Yeah.
And like growing up in this like very specific environment with her, I think it's just like I found that was like the most inspirational thing in my life, at least for now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it will change later, but that's why I make art about these memories, because they make me feel kind of like connected to them. Like, yeah. I call my family very often. I talk to them every day.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a little bit. But I realize that when I call them and then they tell me like a story, you know, that happened to them when they were young, or like something that we did together, they're just like telling me the same stories over and over again.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just a way for them to like connect with me in a different way, that it's not just like, hey, what did you eat today? It's like deeper. So yeah. I started to realize the like impact like sharing a story with someone else has. Like, it's like a very vulnerable thing. So I just find that super inspiring. So I've been kind of like trying to make more work about that, because I just feel like I want to be able to do something like that in the future with like my family. And if I have a family, you know, like, yeah. I want to continue that. And that makes sense.
No, for sure. I 100% makes sense. My family's, my mother was like one of 10 kids. So they're like, I have a million mm-hmm. cousins that I grew up around in between San Diego and Tijuana, and like, and every single one of them have like crazy stories. Like, you're right. Like, every time there's a family get together, it's just a repetition of different stories that we probably already mm-hmm. heard, but it's like, love hearing the different variations of it as it evolves over time, I think. Mm-hmm. But it, yeah. And I'm, my family, we're the same way, where like every time we get together, it's like, we, it's, I don't think we ever really ask like as many questions about how's work, you know, like how's, mm-hmm. how's the new house? It's more like, here's some crazy story that happened to me, or here's a crazy story that I just found out from an aunt or a cousin. And did you know mm-hmm. about this? And like, it's a lot about, yeah. a lot about that. But you know, I'm curious, do you think that if you were to go back, that, mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if your work, really reflects this like connection and these memories because of the distance that you currently have between your hometown and here. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that would continue if you were living in Mexico still? Or like, mm-hmm. would you think that that theme would be so dominant in your work right now if you weren't living here and living in the Bay Area versus living close to home?
I think that just going away kind of like made me appreciate those things, like the memories and like the talking about that.
Yeah.
But I think it was just like what triggered it, but I don't know. That's a good question. I think I would still make work about my grandma, even if I live there.
Yeah.
Because she's like super important to me. So yeah. I want to say like it would be similar, but maybe it would have like a different approach.
Yeah.
To her, at like a relationship, like right now maybe feels like, oh, she's far away, she like remembers these things, but like the reality is that they are not like really far away, like they still feel very present. So
right,
they might feel a little nostalgic, but to me they're like my present, like right. Yeah. It's not something that's like super far away from like myself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it feels like too that maybe even if you were, let's say tomorrow, like now live in Mexico again and you're closer to your family, mm-hmm. you just get like more stories and more like yeah. more influence, right? And because it's not at, over a phone anymore. It's like every day in interaction. Yeah.
No, totally. That's like, I agree with that. I have been trying to call my grandma more and like recording our conversations. Just honestly, because like I want to like have her voice, like that's really why it started. But yeah, I wish that I could have like more time to like collect more of these like stories, and just like, I don't know, it's like awesome being able to talk to them in this way, and over the phone sometimes it's tricky.
Yeah. And so you've also talked about magical realism. Tell me more about that.
Well, magical realism is like, I think it was a literary movement that began in many places in like Latin America. I think it was maybe in the 1930s where a lot of authors, like writers, were making like short stories or novels that dealt with this kind of like not 100% fantasy, but not 100% just like had this in between. You know, like there were some fantastic, like fancy elements kind of like added to stories that were very real. And that just reminded me of what my grandma's stories were like, where she would be speaking about ghosts and she would be talking about spirits, like not as on a, oh, I'm going to tell you like a fantasy story. She would just be telling me like, right now there's like a ghost in a room with us. So that's kind of how I grew up. And that's why I connected to that kind of like books when I started reading them, you know, in school when I was a teenager. So I just connected with them just because they reminded me of a very familiar way of like seeing the world, which is like the way my family sees the world. That's why I think I'm drawn to those stories. And I try to like approach my own stories and my work with the same lens. It feels very familiar to my family, I guess.
Speaking of that, because I wanted to talk about a little bit of how like a recent work that it seems that seems to have played mm-hmm. out a little bit is it's the mural that you have up over at SF MoMA mm-hmm. seems to have a little bit of that, right? And mm-hmm. tell me, so like, you know, first of all, before we even get to like the themes of that work, how did that work? How did that end up coming about? Like, how did that get commissioned? Was it a commission, right, by the museum?
Yeah, it was a commission. Happened last year. I don't know. It was a surprise to me. I got an email from one of the curators at the museum, Giovanna, who is just this really amazing person, super talented curator. And she asked me if she could have a studio visit with me. And we talked a little bit, and she told me that the museum was looking for some mural work to be presented inside of the museum. And I think she saw this like wheat paste installation that I made in the mission. And it was just this other commission piece that was installed on top of the boarded up like storefronts on Valencia Street. So I think she saw it there because she lived in the neighborhood, and then she invited me to create something for the museum, but they didn't have a specific direction.
Did you get to like have a say in the direction? If they didn't have one, I would assume you probably had a
yeah, they were like, you just make something. And I was like, okay. So I just made, you know, it was like at the time I was working in my show at Part Two, so I was just thinking about that. I couldn't really like approach it in any other way, so the work ended up being similar to that show. It was a big surprise. At first I didn't think it was real, so I think it took me a while to reply. But yeah, it ended up being great, and it was a really good experience. I got to, you know, work with friends, like install it with Lena Gustafsson and Cole Solinger, who are amazing artists here in Oakland. And it was just a really positive thing to do while lockdown was going on.
Yeah. And then the title of the work ended up being Conjuro para la Sanación de Nuestro Futuro, a spell for mm-hmm. the healing of our future. So it you know, even in the title itself, it has that, you can see that connection to the magical realism theme. So tell me if you ended up having a little bit more independence, I guess, in terms of what you wanted to make, mm-hmm. what did you ended up going for then? What's the takeaway you hope from visitors who come and see it?
It was cool because the museum was like down with whatever I made. I thought that they were going to ask me to change many things, but they were like, no, this is great. Let's just put it up. And I did what I really wanted. They didn't change a thing. I think what I would like people to get from seeing the mural is just, I don't know, like what I saw with people who were working at the museum. You know, there were a lot of people who were security, janitorial team. Like they would just come up to me and like look at one symbol or look at one word or phrase and just start talking to me about it. And they would start talking to me about, you know, without me asking them, like, oh, what do you think? They would just like lock eyes with like one symbol or one phrase and start telling me about that and like their experience during the pandemic. So it was just nice to see people like getting whatever it was that they needed from this like image that I put on the wall. And it was very different perspectives. Like I knew that it was going to happen. Like no matter how many things I would write there, people were going to like have their own take on it. And yeah. I like hearing that. I think I loved it when people shared what they got from it. And it was basically just like a reflection of what they needed to hear, or like they needed to share their story and how they felt seen, I guess, in this.
Well, that's like great too, that like you were able to be, you know, it's not like you were like isolated, make the piece and then you're out. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, you have an opening maybe, and then you don't really see every day people's reactions. Mm-hmm. Like that's great that like you were able to, that there was enough people around, whether they worked there or not, mm-hmm. that were lingering around, and you were able to see what their reactions were to what you're making.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly just appreciate the reaction, or like the feedback that people who work at the museum have, because like I know the people, the like security services, you know, like janitorial team, like right. they see so much art every day and they see it over and over and over. So I trust their, like I trusted them, and I was very intrigued to see what they had to hear. Yeah. So that I'm like saying, like, I don't care what like the, you know, random visitor has to say, but I just felt that they had a very interesting perspective. And I spent a lot of time talking to this particular man. His name Jorge. He was super nice. And, you know, some of the people who were installing the exhibitions would stop by and like have something to say. I think those were like the comments that mean the most to me.
Yeah,
are theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find, so I work at a art museum. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you offline a little bit more about it, but I work at an art museum, and so part of my job is sometimes I have to be in the galleries and stuff, and during installations. And what's mm-hmm. funny is, you know, when we do installations, it's closed off to the public. You know, there's still visitors mm-hmm. kind of, you know, around, but they're like, they can't come in. But most of the people that can are like the janitorial staff, the like the security staff. Mm-hmm. And I always found interesting that I felt that they were more appreciative of like the awe of putting up this work, or like what the work, like how cool the work is. I feel like sometimes visitors, when they come in, they're like art, they're generally like art people, you know, and mm-hmm. they're a little bit of a, they have a little bit, they go in kind of with a critical mind, right? Like, oh, I don't get it, you know, like, oh, a child mm-hmm. can do this, whatever. They come in with that mindset. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that people who work in the janitorial and the security staff, like, they don't generally like come in with that perspective, go, you know, into a museum. They like literally come in with an open mind because they've never seen this before. And I love hearing their feedback, and they'll ask like, what is this? And I'll be like, oh, it's this piece about that. Like, no way. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean,
you know,
it's really cool. Every time someone's like, what is this? I'm just like, what do you think it is? And yeah. they say it, and I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. Like most of the time, like they're right. And or like, honestly, they come up with something way cooler than I like could ever like come up with. And I just really appreciate them, like, you know, just like stopping what they're doing and talking to me for like 15 minutes. I'm like, damn, thank you.
Yeah. Now, most of the work you do, as you mentioned before, it's painting and ceramics. And so this mural, was this kind of like the first of many murals, or is this like, like you were, have you already been doing murals for a little bit before this one came about?
Yeah, before that I had made like 2 or 3 murals before it, and that's not something that I like was seeking out to make. It just kind of happened. So they invited me, and I was like, why me? There's like so many more, way more talented mural artists here in the Bay. But it worked out, and I was very grateful for the opportunity. But it was not the first mural that I've made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it? So do you prefer? I mean, because then referring to the very beginning where you talk about like you're an introvert and you like that, you like the solitude. Do you? You know, it sounds like this experience of doing the mural, you know, in a public space or an open space, that you tend to get more passerbys, you know, and observers. You know, but it seems like you like that experience a little bit. Do you think do you still prefer like the paint, like doing painting, being in a studio making paintings and sculptures, ceramic mm-hmm. work versus the murals, like, you know, where you get a little bit more social interaction with people? Or was that like a new experience that just kind of added in with what you already your art practice is?
Well, I've been very lucky because the murals that I have to install before have always been indoors and places that are closed or they're like in construction. So when we were installing the SF MoMA mural, it was close to the public. It was, I can't remember what happened, but only the, you know, the, what were they calling? The, just certain teams were allowed to be in the building. Mm-hmm. So it was like no visitors. And honestly, I was just so grateful because I don't like working when like people are around. I don't know how I would install something outside with people asking me questions. Yeah. Installing a mural is really difficult and it requires a lot of like problem solving that needs to happen really quickly. Mm-hmm. So I am just so grateful that I was able to work with Cole and Lena, who are like a really solid team, and they were able to kind of like work with me when I had to be quiet and just like problem solve on the spot. But then it's also nice because like I don't want to sound like I want to be alone all the time. It's awesome to have the support of like your friends when you're working on something stressful, who are just there to hear you being kind of like, I need to like talk to you about this plan that I have, like just be your sound board, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're, I don't know. I'm so grateful. I don't think I could install a mural alone.
Yeah.
I never want to do that. It's always like done with friends and it makes it so much more, like, you know, it's a better experience. And that's when I like really want to collaborate with people.
Yeah.
But if I'm honest, I prefer being in my studio. It's just stressful installing murals sometimes.
Yeah. So one of the interesting things about your work that I wanted to point out, which is actually how I heard about you, was I have a friend of mine who's whose girlfriend, we were hanging out in his apartment and she came in and she had bought this new painting and that she like saw this painting online and the artist was selling it on Instagram and was announcing it on Instagram. And it was this beautiful like terracotta painting. And basically it was the most amazing thing because it was a painting, but then within the painting there was like terracotta, like it just felt like it was part sculpt, part ceramic, part painting. And it had this texture to it. And it was you. It was your work. And And it was like this terracotta painting. And she bought it. And now every time I go to the apartment, I see it. That's how I first heard of you and then started following you on Instagram and seeing more of your work. I wanted to ask you about that because you've mentioned like you love painting, you learn about ceramic, but this particular series of work, like you seem to figure out how to combine both of them. And it isn't until you like go up to it that you realize that it's a mixture of these two mediums, because from afar it looks like a normal painting. Like, how did you even come up with that idea? Because I, you know, I've seen tons of paintings that where people slap on or glue random things on it, you know, and materials. Mm-hmm. But in this one, you really kind of mixed it together.
I came up with that right after I graduated from school, just because I had a ton of clay left, and of course, doesn't matter how many like thousands of dollars you paid, the school's like, you cannot have access to any of the studios anymore, but you have to continue making art. So I just had a ton of clay left over and I wanted to continue working with it because I really feel connected to the material, but I just didn't have a studio. I didn't have a kiln. I didn't have the right equipment to make anything with it. And I had many, many pounds left. It was like the summer after you graduate college, and it was when Ryan and I were kind of like dating, and he was like, you should just like start making paintings. And I was like, I don't know how to stretch a canvas. I don't even know how to prepare it. So he honestly guided me through like that process. I always tell him like, I learned so much more from you than I learned from school, to be honest. So I'm super grateful for him because he really kind of like inspired me to just try something. Yeah. And I didn't know how to use acrylic. I didn't know how to use any paint except of oil that I did when I was like younger. But I was like, I don't know. I just have this clay and I wish I could be making ceramics. So I'm just going to like try to see if there's a way where I could use this as a medium to paint an image. So I tried so many things and, you know, it failed so many, many times. So it took me like a year to figure out how to like process the clay and make it kind of like a thing that I could use to paint with. And it was a long process. But I think that if it wasn't for my commitment to materials that I just like get obsessed with and just like having someone to be like, who cares? Just try it. Like, this is not for a show. This is not for anything. You just want to do it. It was just like that. And after trying many things, I was able to figure out how to like preserve it in a way that looked the way that I wanted it to look like. Yeah, just like a piece of ceramic, but it's like in a painting and it's flat.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I didn't know that you first started, that you did ceramics first before you really got into painting. Then it seems.
Well,
like,
it's not, I wouldn't even say did ceramics. I had one class, like I was not a ceramicist. I just like drew some shitty, like little bowls and that was it. Yeah. I think it was just like having a teacher telling me the basics of like using clay, that was like what I needed, and I just kind of ran with it, and now I make sculptures.
That's amazing. Yeah, so then it seems like too, then it's really like your college education was really like an accumulation of the basics of like different types of mediums, but then once you got out and you really were like experimenting with them, that you like kind of, it gets turned into what your practice is right now. And it seems like you're not married to any of them. It's really more about what fits right with whatever theme or memory that you want to kind of express visually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why it's exciting. Like, sometimes I just get obsessed with, you know, for like my last show, it was metal, like aluminum. And I just don't know how to like cast anything. So I just went back to something that I knew how to use, which is something I learned when I was little, to kind of like emboss on aluminum and turn it into this like image. So I just went back to like what I knew, and it turned out great. It was exactly what I wanted to do.
Well, thanks for coming on. That was good. Yeah. That was great, and it was nice talking to you. Before I let you go, though, do you have anything aside from the mural, which I think is up till September now, right? I think the mural's up. I think so, right? Or I could be wrong.
I think it's up until next year.
Until next year. Oh, look at that.
2022, I believe.
Oh, fantastic.
I might be wrong, but yeah. I think it is until 2022.
Yeah. Okay, great. So it's up till next year over at SF MoMA. So anybody can. So anybody who goes to the museum, you can see it. I think it's on the third floor. Anything else that you have coming up that we should know about?
Yes, I have a couple projects that I unfortunately cannot talk about. But the only other thing I can talk about is I will have two exhibitions next year. I'm a very slow worker. I like to take my time. I don't want to be rushed. So I usually just like work on an exhibition for like a year and a half. And the main one will be at Part 2 Gallery. I believe it's October 2022. And that one will be the entire gallery. So I'm doing a lot of work for that. But there will be more little things here and there, like projects coming up this year and next year. Yeah. But you'll hear more from it.
And you you're represented now by Part 2, right? Is that the... well, all right. That's great. So then we'll look forward to a lot more of your work coming in the next few years over there.
That's correct. Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot. And it was great talking to you. And thanks again. And
thank you.
And you have a good rest of your weekend. And I hope to meet you in person now that things are opening up. So next time, I would love to have you back on to like plug anything new coming on, and hopefully you can be in person.
Perfect. Yeah. Just let me know. We'll talk soon.
Yeah. That is it for today, everyone. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Liz for coming on. Her mural will be on exhibit at SF MoMA until September 2022, so be sure to check it out. To learn more about her work, be sure to visit her website at liz-hernandez.com. Also, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast through whichever platform you listen through, and be sure to rate and review. Till next time, everyone.